Brother Gray, would you mind shutting those? Thank you, sir. All right. Good to have y'all with us today. Missing a few people out sick. I'm not sure if anybody's traveling, and there might be some still stragglers to come in, but good to see everybody who is here. We're going to start with page 46, Oh for a Thousand Tongues.
Asunder part. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This a song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
And you say, Jesus saves.
Jesus saves.
Amen. Good singing.
Apologize, onliners. I didn't have my mic on.
Morning, everybody.
Acts 15, 12 to 21. To take out of them a people for his name. That's what our study will cover this morning. We ask, though, before we get into turn events, that you do not talk over the speaker or video clips and hold your questions and comments to the end of our current events update. Israel is still at war. No surprise there. Today is the 24th. We have 5 Sundays in March, so next Sunday will be the 5th. This is day 170 since the October 7th attacks. 134 hostages remain. Official count, and there's no deal in sight. The headlines say that Israel and Hamas continue indirect hostage talks in Qatar. It's indirect because that's how far apart they are. They ever get close, they'll start talking about it being direct. And as the headline says, amid reports of wide gaps, it basically comes down to Hamas is always, whether it's any of those terrorist organizations over there, Fatah, the PLO, all of them, and they every time they would take hostages or have prisoners, they would exchange them at like 50 to 1. And they would never give them all over. They would trickle it out, get what they could, and well, you know, to their credit, it worked. So you can't blame them for trying. But this time's different. At least for 170 days now, it's been different. And Netanyahu, as the leader there in Israel, is dealing with this in a way that the world has never seen Israel do since Yom Kippur in 1973. The IDF says 480 of 800 detained suspects at Shifa Hospital are Hamas or Islamic Jihad members. They were criticized for their attack on that hospital, but they're saying more than half of the people that they've detained are directly known to be part of Hamas and Islamic Jihad. So Israel continues to dismantle Hezbollah to the north as well. And this is just one of the videos you'll see. Gone. Just like that.
Wow.
And there's another one. This is I think both of them are like three stories plus basement and probably a tunnel underneath, you know. And they were filled with Hamas and Hamas-friendly terrorists, and they split hell wide open. So, in the meantime, I just thought you'd be interested in this, that life does go on in Israel. You know, they're not all hunkered down and waiting for the end of the war. And Purim, some of you remember Purim?
Yep. Esther.
Esther, that's right. That continues in spite of the war, and this is a little news segment on that, just a short clip.
How is Israel celebrating Purim this year when the nation is at war? Well, there are some special rules, both official and unofficial, that are being set. First off, it is forbidden to dress up as Hamas's leader in Gaza, Yahya Sinwar. In fact, any panic-inducing costume, according to Israel's education ministry, is banned this year in schools. However, after October 7th, there has been an increase in demand for costumes of security and rescue forces for Purim. Also, this year there will be stricter enforcement operations against firecrackers, explosives, and fireworks. One reason for this is to prevent triggering soldiers who have PTSD. Purim is a holiday that is meant to celebrate the victory of good over evil. And this year, despite the war, the Purim festivities will go on, just a bit differently.
So, you might have noticed that as in America, Canada, and the UK, Israeli holidays are not quite what they were originally meant to be. Some of those masks and things, and some of the things they do, and you're talking about more than 80% of the people over there don't even claim to believe in God. So the way they secularized all the holidays, and some of the holidays are like this one. It almost borders on what we see around on Halloween around here. But it's just like 9/11. I remember after 9/11 that it was a month later, 6 weeks later, and the costumes being worn by all the little trick-or-treaters were so much nicer. They're all about firemen and police officers and different things like that, superheroes, kind of like that. Then compared to the last time we had it here, and you'd see all these little devils and I don't know what's coming around. And then we had at least two almost adults who were boys dressed up in like drag, you know, trick-or-treating, that kind of thing. In times of war, it's just amazing how people, you know, will kind of shape up a little bit for a while. But it reminds me of when Jesus said that you clean it out, and then the one spirit leaves and comes back with seven times more. You know, that's what's happened. We were a much better, decent, more decent country before 9/11 than we are now.
Yeah.
So it's just what Jesus said has happened to our country. In the meantime, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the map inflamed remains. I want that image in your mind as you think about Israel and pray for them. They shall prosper that love thee. And we'll say more about that each service until it's over, which I hope ends up with the rapture.
Amen.
The latest culture battle, how many of you might have heard of this? Planet Fitness. Some of you, your fitness plan is... fitness pizza in my mouth. That's your plan of fitness. But this is Planet Fitness. It's a place, it's a workout complex, basically, all kinds of things about working out and everything. And it's been given over to Sodom for a long time. They've promoted actually what is now a big deal. They've been actually doing this all over the country in Planet Fitness places. But it hit the headlines. And so not the Mockingbird mainstream media, but headlines of conservative and other patriot groups and everything. Just in Columbus, there are 15 locations. We have one over there on the way home to Bethel. But in Alaska, this is what happened. And this is the latest culture war. That dude is standing in the women's shower, and he's claiming he's a woman, and he's shaving. And so he's standing there shaving, and this woman to the left is going, well, I'll show you the video, but she protested a man standing there shaving with, among others, underage girls walking around, freaking out and trying to cover themselves with this man in their shower.
Good day. I just wanted to say I just came out of Planet Fitness, and there is a man shaving in a women's bathroom. I realize he wants to be a woman. He gets to be a woman. I love him in Christ. He's a spiritual being having a human experience. He doesn't like his gender, so he wants to be a woman. But I'm not comfortable with him shaving in my bathroom. All right. I just thought I'd say it out loud.
Amen.
See, she actually is much softer on that than I would be. I think most of you would be, too. You know, she said, well, he wants to be a woman, he gets to be a woman. But technically, under law, he does. Under the law, if he wants to walk around and call himself a woman and wear dresses, he's allowed to do that. I think that's what she was trying to express. And we do love those people. We don't want to see them come to harm. But we love the women and the little girls. And we don't want them to be harmed. And so that's what she's trying to express. And so 2 days later, they revoked that woman's membership. Because of her posting that video. The woman who exposed the man shaving in an Alaska Planet Fitness women's locker room with a 12-year-old present just had her membership revoked. And so then, I don't know what day was that. Was then the next day after her membership was revoked, libs of TikTok come out and said, wow, Planet Fitness is standing by their decision to allow men in women's locker rooms. And then they have screenshots that we won't take time to look at. But they have policies that actually allow men in female spaces. So, like I said, this is not new. This has been going on for a while. But this woman having her membership revoked has hit the attention of a lot of people. The same people who canceled Bud Light, by the way. And I know all of you in here are boycotting Bud Light, I'm sure.
Many years.
But that's what they come back later and said, this isn't the first time that Planet Fitness has been caught up in a controversy like this. A man in Georgia exposed himself to a minor. I mean, exposed himself. That's a crime. And he had reportedly done it before. They didn't do anything about it because he claims to be a woman. He is a reprobate. They are just as wicked and insane.
Yeah, they are too.
I mean, that is just sick. And then wow, this is March 18th. This isn't the first time. And then they show the man, transgender woman at center of claims Planet Fitness terminated another woman's membership because she complained a man was in the locker room. And if you look at the date, that goes back to 2015. Some of us in this room might not even been alive then. How old is that? Yeah. I mean, that's how long it's been going on. I love the term Mockingbird mainstream media. You look up the Mockingbird media thing with the CIA. going back to the 60s. And there's a close-up. That's the ugliest woman on the planet. And I get in trouble every once in a while, but these guys will post their pictures and they want people to, and people will go in there and say, "Oh, I think you look wonderful." And I'll go in there and say, if you were a woman, you'd be the ugliest woman on the planet. They just need to understand that is not pretty, let alone wicked and insane. So there's the CEO, the guy to the right. And the good news is just since this started, Planet Fitness has lost $400 million of their value. But what are they doing? They're doubling down.
Yeah, they're doubling down.
New York Post reported that they actually now have an assigned worker, staffer, who walks around with this guy to make sure he is comfortable. Who cares about the women and the children, the young girls? The staffer walks around to make sure the pervert is comfortable. That's liberalism. That's the left wing. That's the Democrat Party. That's progressives in the Republican Party. That's the National Education Association educating your children. That's Nickelodeon. That's MTV. That's ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. That's all of them. They're all a bunch of wicked reprobates. Nuts.
Disney.
Yeah, he's weird looking because he's a man. Weird looking woman because he's a man. And then you have this guy. It represents the kind of people who are responding. He canceled his membership and explained. But listen to what happened when he did.
So I just left, canceled my membership. I went in. The lady who helped me out, she was new. She was in training. She got to the point where she asked the reason why I was canceling it. And I informed her about the Alaska situation and the Planet Fitness non-discrimination policy and how they sided with the man in the bathroom and they canceled, revoked the lady's membership in Alaska. And she's like, "I never heard of that." And I can believe it because she's new to Planet Fitness. But what got me was when it got to the point where she had to put in the reason for the cancellation, she asked the manager what she should put in there, and she told him what I had said. He said, "Well, we can't put that." And they put a different reason in there to justify my cancellation. So not only is Planet Fitness siding with the trans non-discrimination thing, but now they're covering it up. Instead of admitting what they did was wrong, they hid the reason why I canceled my membership. Doesn't matter. I'm no longer a member. They're no longer going to get another penny of my money, and I hope every one of you do the same thing.
Right.
We got to protect our women. We got to stop letting the 1% take over, take a stand. Time.
Amen. So after seeing this, other people, including Libs of TikTok, they called and asked about their bathroom policy, and they discovered that they're instructing employees to lie to customers and say that the whole story is fake.
Wow.
And in addition to that, as we've come to expect, before I move on to that, I also found out that this guy isn't the exception, he's the rule. So what they're going to pretend is that very few people are quitting over that issue because they're not writing it down as the reason.
Right.
They're putting the reason as something, anything, and not that. So it'll be, the facts, again, don't matter, it'll be distorted, and it'll be reported that way, probably in Yahoo News and MS News and all these sources that'll say, you know, Planet Fitness hit by, you know, and they're not going to blame it on Bidenomics, you know that, so I don't know what they're going to come up with. The war in Israel is probably what the cause is, you know, or climate change.
Climate change.
That's what
I'm going to say.
And And as we've come to expect, though, this is what I wanted to end with on this. Planet Fitness is complicit in grooming kids as well. Yeah. I mean, they're perverting kids and violating children by having naked men show their penis in front of little girls and that sort of thing. That's already happening. But they have a partnership with a project funded by the sodomites called It Gets Better. It does not. But they want the children, the young people who understand the loneliness of sin. They know, they understand the loneliness of that lifestyle. And they want them to think, just hold on, it'll get better. I got news for you, it does not get better. As you get older in that lifestyle, you do more drugs. It may not be, a lot of them, they have a higher percentage of people in that community, the LGBTQ whatever. They do more drugs than the mainstream community. But they also have a higher level of people on psychiatric drugs in order to get them through life. Well, the thing is, especially those psycho drugs, the psych meds, they cause homicide and suicide. And that's why most of the mass shooters are on those drugs. Go look it up. Most of the mass killers here in this country have been on psych meds. And the reason why the suicide rate has gone through the roof. And why among young people, it's become, I think, the number two killer, or maybe now it's number one. Because that group, I showed you the statistics of how many of them claim to be LGBT. And they're having their breasts removed, they're going on hormone therapy, all of which are irreversible. And a lot of them wake up and realize they didn't really want to do that, and it's too late. It's, you take an axe and cut your arm off at the elbow, you'll never get that arm back. The same thing's true with all these things they're mutilating these kids with. So there you go. Be informed, pray accordingly. Amen?
Amen.
All right, start Brian there.
So I am a member of Planet Fitness, and Planet Fitness can double down if they want to. I've been doubling down for a long time. I leave gospel tracts every time I go. I left some in Texas when I was there, and for the glory of God, somebody there is going to get saved.
Amen. Johnny?
Eric, two comments, and one of them is a question. For a little fun here, I'm sure a lot of people know how much I love the Alice in Wonderland story.
Really?
Yes. But so one of the characters in it is this character called the Duchess, who's is a very ugly woman. Mm-hmm. And I imagine this might change in the future, but I have a few movies where they actually have her played by a man.
Yeah.
Played by a man.
Yeah.
So I imagine they might not be able to do that in the future.
Was it Alice Cooper or something?
No, just a guy.
Okay.
You know, so basically in drag, but it fits because...
I would just expect him to just to use an actual drag queen to play that part. That's what I'd expect.
Yeah. So the other question is, just to get the... So when the transgender stuff is done to a man or a woman, does it result in sterilization,
yes,
essentially?
Yes.
For both of them?
Yes. Estrogen for the boys, testosterone for the girls, and they sterilize permanently.
Wow.
Yes, Emily? That's...
Well, the other thing, too, I was learning, I watched, there was a man, and he had fully transitioned, and he was from, he was raised in an Islamic family, and his family was always very hard on him, because he was shorter, and he wasn't as manly as his siblings, and so he grew up always hearing, you're too girly, you're too girly. And then when he came to the United States and went to college, then of course they're like, oh yeah, that's probably because you're a girl. But he went through the whole process, and he was talking about how, they tell you that once you're done, it'll be fine. You just have to fight the depression and stuff, and it'll get better. And he was talking about how, you're on hormones the rest of your life. And so as a man, you need certain hormones in your body to make your body function correctly, but your body isn't able to do that because you have to take the female hormone. So your mental health is never
right.
Okay, because your body is never balanced. So
yeah.
he said, you know, they don't talk about it, but most of that community is very depressed, very suicidal.
Yeah.
Just long term, because your hormones are never balanced in your body. Your body just can't work the way it's supposed to. And to learn, I mean, it's pretty graphic, so I'm not going to go into it. But if you look up what especially the men have to do to remain women, it is horrifying.
It's horrible.
Yeah. The rest of their life, it is awful.
Mm-hmm.
Awful.
Yeah, the first time I saw a man who had transitioned and wanted to transition back, and he was describing, I mean, he was castrated, and then in place of that, they placed a fake, pretend female part. I'm not going to get into it. Go look up what the rest of his life he'll be doing as a result of that surgery, even if he transitions back. It is a constant, horrible thing that he goes through.
And you can't, I mean, you can kind of untransition, but you've done so much damage that
like I said, when you cut that arm off, you're never getting it back.
Uh-huh.
I can claim to have two arms, but I'm still not going to have two arms.
Or even like the women, like, you know, your bone density and all that stuff, your hormones not being in check. Like, they have all these bone issues, and like their body just doesn't work right. And so, all these long term problems.
Medical scientist who was interviewed, and I can't remember the names of all these people, but he was saying that the life expectancy for anyone going through that is no more than 40.
Yeah, wow.
And we'll see, you know, and if the Lord tarries, how that plays out. Dre?
One of the interesting things, going back to the Israel stuff that happened this week, was, you know, they fired Ken Sowens from the Daily Wire because, I guess, she was, you know, sympathetic towards the Palestinian citizens. I guess my question is, like, how exactly do we respond to those who say, oh, you're supporting the death of innocent Palestinian citizens, while at the same time saying, you know, hey, let's,
yeah, we've addressed this a few weeks ago, and I'll repeat it, that, you know what, that's war. It's a shame that Hamas did what they did, causing all this death. But you have to repudiate all the wars, World War II, World War I. You'd have to repudiate all that. Most of these people aren't willing to do that. Some of them would, which tells you what you're dealing with. But unless you're ready to repudiate war and be a pacifist, then this is war. Hamas knew, or they should have known, when they did what they did, that when war breaks out, civilians die, especially when you practice what Hamas does, hiding behind civilians and children, hiding in hospitals and schools and mosques. So the answer is, you want to be nice, and if you know, you talk to somebody and say, you know what, you're just ill-informed. But most of these people don't care about the facts, it's emotional. You know, they're just all emotional about it. If you try to sit down and talk to them, it's not genocide. It's no different than what we did in Nazi Germany, going into Berlin. It's not anything different than we did when we, was it genocide when we dropped the bomb in Japan? If you want to call that genocide, then even that was worse than what Israel's doing. So it's still not a one-for-one same thing. Listen, folks, war is as close to hell as you experience on earth.
Yeah.
And was it Bob Jones Sr. said that war is the result of sin on earth in this life, and hell is the result of sin in the afterlife. And war is hell on earth, as close as it comes. And so I hate war, and I hate that this happened, but as soon as Hamas did what they did, and if they say, well, they're killing all these innocent people, well, of course, children are innocent. But better than 70% of the Palestinians were polled yesterday, at least the poll was released yesterday, the polling was this week, and better than 70% supported what Hamas did on October 7th.
Exactly.
So what's happening to them was brought on by them. They elected Hamas. They put them in power, and it's a shame. But all Hamas has to do is release the hostages. And everything will change. It won't be over, but everything will change at that point. So that's how you answer. They know there's people that do that, say those things, Dre. They hardly ever mention the hostages. You know? It's like, hey, let those hostages go or shut up. That's my response.
Right. Yeah, man. I feel like it's just the gentrification of like negligence, because I mean, like, there's plenty of people that like understand that this is a wrong thing. Like, they're not going to get anywhere with this, because I mean, the Palestinian power, it's not as strong as the Israelites, however you say it, but the Israel, they have so much backing them, and Palestine is kind of like a third world country at this point.
They have 2 billion people backing them.
Jesus. Never
mind. See, that's if you go to what we call the Mockingbird mainstream media, they won't tell you these things. But you look at that map back there, you can't even see Israel on the map. But I could point out all the nations that are supporting Palestine, and it's a couple of billion people. China and Russia support them. They don't tell you that. And so I'm going to have to move on. We'll talk more about this during fellowship time. But that's the information that is being withheld unless you go to... and that includes some conservatives, by the way. There are some conservative sources who are just as anti-Israel as the liberals. So you just always have to ask the hard questions and find out what the truth is. And so we'll talk more about like Candace Owen and that kind of thing later on. But the second time, I didn't get into all that. But let's go ahead and get into our Bible study now. Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. Acts 15, beginning verse 12. And we'll open with a word of prayer. Ask Brother Jim Oldham, if you would, over Bible study.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the service this morning. Thank you for everyone present, Lord. We lift up those who couldn't be with us today for whatever reasons, Lord. We pray you'll be with the sick and the shut-ins, Lord. And we just thank you for what pastors prepared, Lord. We pray you'll be with him. You'll give him a clear mind, Lord. And we just open our hearts to receive from you. We ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. All right. To take out of them a people for his name. That's taken right out of our text, as we'll see. We pick up in Acts chapter 15 where James, the brother of Jesus, will explain God's will regarding Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And so beginning of verse 12, I'm going to have you read the, I'm going to have you read the odd with me. I'll start in verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is, that we trouble not them, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Amen? So that's our text where Paul and Barn introduce the topic, and then James expounds further. That's what's happening in our text. He starts with God's purpose. We'll see that in verses 12 through 14. And then he puts God's purpose in context of God's overall plan. We'll see that in verse 15 through 18. And then we're going to see what I've called godly practice. In light of the truth, what are we supposed to do? So we pick up after Peter has given a full report. That was in our previous study. Peter has spoken. This is a council of the apostles. It would have been amazing if somebody would have had their smartphone there and recorded this. Been nice to be able to see that, wouldn't it?
Amen.
So Peter's talked, and then we come to Paul and Barnabas here at verse 12. As we read, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, The audience here are the apostles and leaders in the church in Jerusalem. And it says, what did Paul and Barnabas talk about? Well, they're talking to Jews. So what does it say? Declaring what miracles and wonders God wrought among the Gentiles by them. Why did they talk about the miracles? You have to remember, this is the evidence required by the Jew to believe such a thing is of God. If they just said, well, a bunch of Gentiles are believing, you know, the apostles, these Jewish apostles would have said, well, what else can you tell me? But then you tell them what has been going on and all these miracles happening. And that is what the Jew looks for as the kind of signature of God on an event. You remember we've quoted this a number of times, 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews, what?
Require a sign.
And the Greeks seek after wisdom. So what did you see throughout history? How did Moses convince them that he was sent from God? Threw down the rod. The rod turns into a snake, picks it back up, it's back to being a rod. Now, all the different miracles that they saw that didn't seem to affect them, it's just kind of amazing. But they did believe that Moses was sent by God, at least for a time, and then they'd rebel, and God would give somebody leprosy, and then they'd go, oh, okay, we believe you, you know. That's how God dealt with it. But that's the way it is throughout the Old Testament. And then when Jesus came, why did people start to follow him? He started making the blind to see, the lame to walk, but it all started when he turned water into grape juice. Some of you get it. But he turned the water into wine at a wedding. How do you do that? Who else could do that?
God.
Yeah. So that's how his confirmation of his messianic credentials was two things, the miracles, and he fulfilled these prophecies like we talked about in Sunday school in Isaiah 50. So that's what happened here. In addition to the signs, which Paul and Barnabas have been explaining to the apostles, this also meets the requirement in the law repeated by Jesus. Look what it says. Jesus says this. He's quoting Moses. And Moses was quoting Jesus in the first place. Matthew 18:16, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So you have the requirement of the signs, and you have two or three witnesses. Who? Peter, Paul, Barnabas. There you go. You got your requirements for accepting that what's happening with the Gentiles is of God. And so having established the testimony of Gentile inclusion into the church, then we see James come along here in verses 13 and 14. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, is reference to Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. What's the rest of that verse say? To take out of them a people for his name. And that's, he's telling the purpose of God. He's stating it, but that is the purpose of this whole dispensation we're in now. That's why we tell you what's going on when it comes to things like politics, because it's related to morality, which is biblical. It's related to prophecy, current events, and everything going on. You know, otherwise, you know, politics would not matter to us as Christians much. I mean, we as citizens, but in the church services, we wouldn't talk about things that are political. But, you know, when you make killing a baby political, sorry, we're talking about politics now. If you've made it political, it's still murder, it's immoral, it's wicked. When you start talking about confiscating guns, when Jesus Christ commanded his followers to have weapons in Luke 22:36 for self-defense purposes, and when you start trying to take God out of our lives and God out of the school system, whatever, the founding fathers who wrote the First Amendment, which is supposed to mean the separation of church and state, which isn't in the First Amendment, and the First Amendment only says Congress shall pass no law establishing religion. So the First Amendment only says they can't set up a state church. And then it goes on to say that they can't establish a law prohibiting the free exercise thereof, which is exactly what they've been doing for the last 70 years or so.
That's right.
Then we've got to get political.
Yep.
Because you're on our turf. And I am going to keep telling the truth about everything, including those things that the perverted political parties have made political. And of course, the Democrat Party is like the party from hell now. But the Republican Party has a platform that most of the elites and the leaders and most of the elected officials don't hold to. They're progressives. They don't believe in life. They don't believe in Second Amendment. They don't believe in the sovereignty of this country. So we find ourselves pretty much at odds with most people in both major political parties, let alone the, you know, the Green Party and the Socialist Party and even the Libertarian Party. As much as they cry about freedom and everything, they also think that you should be free to kill your baby. So we're against the Libertarians on that. And so we're apolitical. We are not identified with any political party. But we are going to talk about anything those political parties adopt that is on our turf.
Amen.
Amen, amen. With that said, that's why we don't jump on board with a political party, because that's not our purpose. Our purpose isn't political. Our purpose is to stand for the gospel and for the righteousness of God. And that's the only reason we're involved in anything political, is because they're on that turf of the righteousness of God. But our main purpose is to preach the gospel, to be used of God as he calls out a people for himself.
Amen.
And we don't care what race. We don't care what your place of origin. I don't care about your bank account. Don't care about your last name. Don't care man or woman. We will insist that I don't care what you call yourself. There's only two genders, and whatever you were born with is what you is.
Amen.
But I'm not even going to argue with that. The main thing I'm going to do is preach the gospel.
Amen.
At least to give you an opportunity. Then once you reject that and you want to identify yourself as a fraud or whatever, I'm going to argue with you. Amen. So there are other matters of importance, but none take priority over this purpose of preaching the gospel, teaching the word of God, seeing souls saved. And the final commandment of Jesus to his followers before his ascension was given on several occasions. I want to look at that. Matthew 28. This is all in keeping with Jesus' commandments. Matthew ends his gospel in Matthew chapter 28, verses 28 through 30. We call this the Great Commission. I'm sorry. It's just 19 and 20. I got the wrong references up there. Look at verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28. If you look for 28 and 30, you'll be there a while. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then look what it says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen.
So we teach all nations what? It starts with the gospel. How do we know that? Well, he also gave a similar account in Mark chapter 16, beginning verse 15, which, by the way, has been deleted from your new versions, NIV, ESV, Legacy Bible. Beginning in verse 15, and he said unto them, I want you to read that one with me, read 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then it goes on to say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then he goes on to talk about the signs that will follow them that believe. Verse 17, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And all those things have happened. Most of these, I think you can identify right in the book of Acts. They happened. That doesn't mean they're going to happen for every believer. It doesn't say that. And so the charismatic movement has gone off the deep end and caused people to go insane by teaching that kind of stuff. But we believe in miracles. We just do not believe that the Bible teaches what a lot of these charismatic types teach about miracles. And we believe then, verse 19 and 20, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So there you go. That's his last words as given in Mark chapter 16. And then verse 20, read that with me. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And that describes what began there in the book of Acts. What are they doing? Preaching the gospel, and those who believed became those people that were called out unto God. He's taking a people out for his own name. Look at a few pages over in Luke. We finished Luke right before we started our study in the book of Acts. And in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 46. And Jesus is speaking and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And look at verse 47, read that. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, why would they do that? Because that's the main task of the church, as God is calling out and taking out a people unto himself. And it says in verse 48, 49, and ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power on high. The purpose of giving that power, that's Holy Ghost power, the purpose of giving that wasn't miracles. No. Miracles came, but that wasn't the purpose. What's the purpose? Well, let's go over to Acts chapter 1, written by Luke as well. And by the way, John's gospel focuses on in-house matters of the restoration ministry among the apostles after the resurrection, so he doesn't touch on this. But then we go to Acts, where Luke picks up after he finishes the Gospel of Luke. And look at verse 6, it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And this is Jesus. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power, own power. I'm sorry. Now read verse 8 with me. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So why are they witnesses? Because that's the main task of the church. In verses 9 and 10, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. That's just to show you, that's his last words before being ascended into heaven. So we go back to our text, and that is keeping with all that we just read. In verse 14, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Never lose sight of that. I believe a lot of Christians suffer depression. They suffer feelings of loneliness and such things because they become so... So a lot of times self-consumed, but they lose the purpose. Folks, this isn't just the church. You are the church. This is your main purpose in life once you're a Christian. And if you stay focused on being used of God, you stay focused on praying for the lost and preaching to the lost, giving gospel tracts to the lost, supporting works like this that go out to the lost, doing everything you can, and you make that your priority, it'll, if nothing else, it'll take away from the amount of time you have to sit around and feel sorry for yourself. And then God's got a bunch of other things to keep you busy as well. But once you get that purpose off the top where it belongs, that's what you wonder. People wonder about churches and how they ended up where they are today. That's how. They stopped having that as their main purpose, which is the biblical main purpose of the local church, and they get into this, they go in that direction, and this direction. A lot of them become denominational, and they become political, and there's all this stuff going on. It doesn't have anything to do with any church in the Bible. But it all started when that first priority was set aside for something else. There are missionaries, in quotes, who spend their entire lives as missionaries and they don't even preach the gospel. What? Their purpose is to go. I've told this story where a friend of mine went on a mission trip and they had a banquet. So I went and they talked and showed pictures and all this. And it was about helping them make repairs. It was down in Haiti, by the way. And they helped them dig wells and latrines, or what we call outhouses. All good stuff. But at no point did they mention anything to do with what we're talking about. And so they had a Q&A at the end, and I raised my hand. I said, yes, sir. I said, you didn't mention anything about preaching the gospel or handing out Bibles or holding services or anything. And I'm just curious, do you have any pictures or anything about that? And there were like four or five of them up there standing to answer questions. They just looking at each other.
Yeah.
And so one guy, he speaks up and says, well, that really wasn't our purpose. And then he went and explained that, they were on a do-good mission just to do a bunch of good stuff. Folks, that's no exception. That's the rule in most Protestant churches today.
Yep.
That's their missions.
Yep.
And there are people who have been giving tens of thousands of dollars to missions thinking that while they're doing those other things, they're preaching the gospel, giving out Bibles. They're not. And that's not just in the liberal denominations. I was in a smaller denomination early on in the 90s, and they had a lady over there in Europe that they asked her to give them a report on what was going on, because she just kind of over there and they didn't know what was going on. Turned out she's just basically on permanent vacation. Wasn't over there preaching the gospel or doing anything, and she wasn't called a pastor. It wasn't one of those denominations. She was just over there. She was supposed to be teaching, I think. And while she was teaching, though, she was supposed to be actively engaged in preaching the gospel and all that. Not one, you know, and she gave her explanation for it. But that's what happened. That's the purpose of this dispensation right now for you as a believer, as a member of the body of Christ. That's your number one main purpose in life. So James will not, James will now connect God's purpose in this dispensation with his overall kingdom plan. He has a purpose and he has a plan. So look at verse 15 there. And to this agree the words of the prophets. As it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Now look closely at that. He's speaking this while that tabernacle is still standing. That's quite a prophecy. That's a prophecy that, well, how many of you, September 10th, 2001, would have believed me if I said tomorrow both the World Trade Center towers and Tower 7 that you don't even know exists are all going to be demolished by terrorism? You're the... Okay, Greg's cracked his lid. Jenny, maybe it's time to get him some help. I know, because I tell you right now, you told me that. I thought, okay, whatever. Some of you tell me stuff still, and I'm like, okay. You know. But... No, I actually heard people say they'll never bring those down. It's impossible. That was the mindset of the Jew as James is prophesying this. They're thinking, that can't be literal. Folks, again, we're surrounded by professing Christians, and that's how they read their Bible. They can't believe the rapture. They can't believe there's literally going to be a world government with an evil dictator making everybody take a mark. They can't believe Revelation 12's prophecies about Israel. They can't believe Jesus is going to return and rule on a throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Obviously, that's just talking about the church age. That's what they teach. 2/3 of the seminaries in this country teach that garbage. Because they just are unbelievers. They can't believe the Bible. And most of the Jews at this time were of the same mindset. They would read the Old Testament sparingly, and when they did, They couldn't take it literally. They'd read Isaiah 53, that can't be talking about the Messiah. It must just be talking about the nation of Israel in general. They still say that. It's just unbelief. All you got to do is believe the Bible. Everybody's like, well, you know, they're probably sincere in their own way of interpreting. No, they're not. They just don't believe it.
Exactly.
They're sincere unbelievers, but they're not believers. That's the problem. If they just believe what they read, you believe what James is saying here is literal, because that's what's going to happen. They're going to tear that thing down. They did in 70 AD. And then you would have the prophecy that I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. He's saying that, but it hadn't even been torn down yet. It's an amazing prophecy that James has given there. In verse 17, that the residue of men, that's you and me, by the way. Want some self-esteem? There you go.
Residue.
You're a bunch of residue. Oh, yeah. I'll just let that sink in for a minute. Because people just think too highly of themselves. That's why people won't get saved. You talk to them and you say, you're a sinner and you deserve to be burning in hell right now. You understand that? That's what, I mean, if we were just to be honest, we go out knocking on the door, hey, are you a Christian? You saved? No. But you realize you're a sinner who should be in hell right now? Right now, you should be there. Oh, no, I don't. No. I'm not that bad. That's the response. Well, the Bible says you're residue. I mean, I know some of you watch him. When's the last time you heard Joel Osteen preach that? This follow-up to the best life now is the best residue among men. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord. See that? And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Are you a Christian today? That's you. You're the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. Christ, Christian, that's you. Of course, a lot of people call you Jesus freaks and Jesus people. Same thing. Same thing. So this is the temple agenda, which never before, including Gentiles, during the millennium. To put the Gentiles as part of the temple agenda is unheard of for the Jews. But that's a hint to what the mystery of the body is in this dispensation. Now, Jew, Gentile, saved, no difference. There's neither Jew nor Greek. Doesn't matter. Jew and Gentile now are in one body. And in the Old Testament, you were a Gentile, wanted to be in the Jews. You had to be circumcised, go through ritual. I think it took two or three generations before then your offspring eventually were considered part of Israel. Not now. Born again, boom. Like that. The moment you're saved, you're now a part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Never, ever to be removed.
Amen.
Permanent. It's a wonderful thing. And so during the millennium, this actually will be fulfilled literally. And you're going to see the Gentile nations come to the temple. And if they don't, they're going to get in trouble. We talked about that in our Wednesday. So we must wrap our minds around God's omniscience and omnipotence to understand these things. Submitting ourselves. Stop thinking that your opinion matters on these matters.
Amen.
And just accept what God has to say. That's verse 18. Look at that. Read it with me. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God knows everything. Omniscience. That's what that means. Omniscience. Omniscience. And God, you take all the power, including all the nuclear weapons and everything you have on this earth. You take all the power that we see through telescopes in the universe. All the massive explosions. All the wormholes and supernovas and all that stuff going on there. And you combine it all. And it's like the tip of God's pinky. If he wanted to, he could just take the whole universe. And we'd be gone. Omnipotence is what that's called. Omnipotent. That's God. I think people just take this stuff for granted. They don't really sit and think about it. That's what it means to meditate. Sit and think about these things. Let it sink in. That's our God. We don't need to, you know, pump ourselves up. Pride, you know, that kind of thing. No. Residue. Residue. But now in Christ, I'm in His body. It's not self-esteem, Christ esteem. Amen. And I am in Christ. In Him, I am part of His body. And I am part of His plan. And I am totally, are you all so, they say all in. Are you all in with God? Are you sure about, have you thought about who He is? Have you thought about His power? Have you thought about His omniscience? Are you really familiar with your God? I mean, you'll never get there where you feel like you're really familiar till we see Him face to face. But in the meantime, I think we should make that our agenda in our personal walk with Him, just to know more about Him, to let the truth about God sink in, so that we appreciate, because I think the more we appreciate Him in truth and we understand how amazing He is, the more we have confidence in His word.
Amen.
The more we have confidence to live knowing He will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you get a diagnosis tomorrow, you're dead in a month or dead in a year, you're not going to live 6 months or whatever. Don't wait till that happens before you get really assured of God's power and His omniscience. Get that now and you're ready for anything that happens. In other words, trust Him. And with that understanding, James will simplify matters for the Gentiles here, verses 19 to 21. Not a lot needs to be said about this. Verse 19, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Why? Because you're not saved by works. Saved by, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, the works come after salvation, don't have anything to do with salvation. And that's where James is going right here. He's putting into practice Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. James is reflecting on the words of Jesus here in Matthew 11 real quick. The words of Jesus in Matthew 11. So many hundreds of Bible verses I wish I could just remember. And I mean, there's a few dozen that we got real good up here, but hundreds I wish I had real good up here. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Read that with me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the difference between what you are experiencing by faith in Christ and being a part of a religion or a cult. They make salvation a burden too great to bear. You know, Gandhi said that about his religion. And that reincarnation cycle and all that, he said it was a burden too great to bear. Well, any religion that puts it on you is a burden too great to bear. You can't do it.
Amen.
Thank God we have a Savior who has done it. Amen?
Amen.
So verse 20. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. And that, again, is not in order to be saved, but because you are saved, stay away from idolatry. Don't get involved with, you know, Mary worship and praying the rosary. Don't pray to the saints. Don't pray to your ancestors. Don't, you know, like AA, they take people in there and they can say, oh, my higher power is. That's idolatry. You say, well, my higher power is Jesus. Well, if you mean the biblical Jesus, that's fine, but you're still surrounded by idolaters. And that's why it's a problem. Why so many people get involved in AA and you can't get them into church. It's a false religion. Yeah. That's got people bound today. It's Jesus or nothing.
Amen.
No higher power. It's Jesus or nothing.
Amen.
Amen. And goes on to say, and from fornication, that would include everything from sex outside of marriage, sex before marriage, pornography, all those things. From things strangled. Why? Because, number one, if you do that, you're promoting a very unhealthy thing and disease. And from blood. How many of you ever heard of blood pudding? What's that stuff called? Tartar? You know, raw stuff that still has blood and stuff in it. Stay away from that stuff. That's just good advice. But in this context, here's why. He tells you there's a motive for doing these things, and it's to avoid hurting the Gentile witness with the Jews in every city.
Yeah.
Look at verse 21 as we close here. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. And if you try to witness to a Jew and you're involved in any of those things, they're not going to listen to you. And so that then applies in your life, and you have to decide what that is. But there might be things that, you know, like you can eat a raw steak if you want. And most steak, if you eat it raw, there's no blood. The red stuff isn't actually blood. We've talked about that before. So you're not really eating blood if you eat raw steak out of the restaurant, you know.
You mean rare?
Rare. What'd I say, raw? Well, either way, rare or raw, either way. Raw hamburger, you know, people eat that and everything. That's one of the ways they do tartars, with hamburger or with steak or whatever. I don't suggest you do that because you get parasites, you know, and all kinds of bad things from eating raw meat. But if you do, it's not against my religion. But if you know you're doing something and you're going to hurt your ability to witness with that person because of that thing, then why not avoid that? You know, if you got somebody who's got a big hang-up about something, and you feel like it's okay to do it, but you're going to hurt your ability to talk to that person, then if you can withhold from doing that, you ought to do that. That's the spirit behind what James is closing with here in our verse, is that don't do those things. Don't intentionally destroy your witness, in this case with the Jews. And so, you know, when I walk up to somebody and they, you know, I don't know, have a t-shirt on and, you know, it's like some acid rock group or whatever the thing is today. I'm so out of touch with that stuff, I don't even know. But you walk up and you see it and they got skulls and whatever on there. I don't walk up to people and say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself wearing a t-shirt like that in public. You know, lecture them about, they need to hear the gospel. And so that's the kind of thing, is don't purposely or think about things before you do it so that you don't purposely do something that's going to stop somebody from hearing you when you try to witness to them. Just give that some thought. Because we love people. We love souls. We want people to be saved.
Amen.
That's our purpose. We should walk with humility and a desire to only offend with the gospel and the truth. So let's close with that in mind, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 to 31. 1 Corinthians 1, 21 to 31. Read the even with me. I'll start in verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Sounds like residue to me. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence,
but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Read 31 with me. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. Thank you for what you've taught us. Thank you for saving the residue. And thank you for all the truth that we have, all the promises that we have, that we know is going to remain true. Your word will not change. You will not renege on any promise. You cannot be wrong. You're always right, always faithful, and we love you for it. Thank you for Jesus, and we pray these things in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's sing the pastor's song. Yep. Page 500 in your hymn book.
Pastor's favorite.
Stand if you can. Give me a long intro.
Time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the Savior God shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll.
BBFOhioProtonMail.com. As we say goodbye to the onliners on three, one, two, three. See you
here, there, or